Good evening. Haven't seen most of you since last month. It is the first day of April. And, of course, it is considered by many to be April 1st, known as April Fool's Day. And there's no telling as to how many things were told to lead someone to believe something that isn't true, or to lead someone to do an action that later they may consider themselves to be foolish. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about a fool, about one who said in his heart there is no God, one that does not come to the truth and knowledge of God. There's so many places that we could go and look at so many things. But I believe one chapter in particular that addresses these things is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. If you'd like to turn with me there, I'd like for us to spend a few moments addressing that chapter tonight. Proverbs, chapter 26. And I'd like for us to look at the first 12 verses. In Proverbs chapter 26, beginning in verse 1, Solomon writes, "As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." All of these things the wise man says is how you would perceive a fool, how you would treat a fool. In verse 1, he says, "As snow in summer and rain in harvest." I'm sure we've all seen our share of snow as it has been winter. And now as we make that transition into spring, we get closer and closer to summer. And the closer to summer we get, the less of snow we want to see. But can you imagine seeing snow in the summer? It's not very fitting, is it? Or what about rain in times of a harvest? Not very fitting. So the wise man says that honor is not fitting for a fool. The things that a fool does should not bring honor to him. And instead, he needs direction. He needs guidance. And that's why in verse 3, he says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back." If you've ever led an animal, if you've ever had to ride one, you know it takes something to keep them under control, to lead them where you want them to go. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 32, there in verse 9, similarly, David said that the horse or mule has no understanding and therefore must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle. Isn't that the way some people are? You just wish that you could put something on them to control them, to lead them in the proper way. Well, earlier here in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 19, verse 29, Solomon stated that judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. There are those that need guidance. There are those that need encouragement. And if we're going to encourage, we have to respond in the proper way. Well, as human beings, we know we're all different, aren't we? It takes something different to encourage us. It takes something different to light a fire underneath us, to get us going and do what we need to do. And when we come down to verses 4 and 5, you might think initially there is a contradiction. First, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. And then again, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You know, the wise man also said that there is a time for just about everything. There is a time to speak, and there is a time to keep silent. And the wise man knows when to speak. The wise man knows how to speak. If it is the time to keep silent, don't say anything at all. But if it is the right time, say the right thing in the right way. Do not bring the wise down to the level of the fool, but rather instruct them, guide them, set the example for them. And remember, the wise man also said in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 1 that a soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes it's not only what you say, but also how you say it. Then when you come down to verses 6 and 7, the wise man offers a word of warning of placing trust in the fool. He says, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool gets off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. I'm sure in our lives there's been someone we've all trusted and then realized later on, I wish I hadn't. You know, I give them a job to do and they don't do it at all. Or maybe they do it, but just not in the way that I wanted it done. Or maybe there's an important message that I need to give to someone, and I trust someone to go deliver that message. And sometimes they get busy and don't deliver it at all. Or sometimes they get there and wonder, what was I supposed to say? How was the message supposed to go? And then perhaps we're the ones that are at fault for trusting a fool with those very things. Or what about there in verse 8? Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. It is interesting to hear the number of ways that this verse perhaps can be said, especially by the commentators. But one thing stands out in my mind. Do you remember there was one individual that had a stone and four others in a sling? One that was used to kill a giant? And to think how that one stone was used with the proper guidance and the proper direction, a good result would have ensued. But if it is bound in a sling without guidance, it has no direction. It just seems to be there with everything else. Is he who gives honor to a fool? Does a fool really deserve that honor? Will it do something good? Well, consider verse 9. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. We often think about Paul and his thorn in the flesh. But in a different scenario, a thorn in the hand of a drunkard, that could do a lot more harm than good. And when you think about a true proverb, going in the mouth of a fool could do more harm than good. May not be said at all. May not be said in the proper way. And what is going to happen when these things are said and done? Well, it's not up to us to decide, but rather that's for God. The wise man reminds us in verse 10 that the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Yes, the things that we do, we will give account. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, or whether they're idle. Whether we do something, whether we do not do something. Whether we do something good, whether we do something bad. And in verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Those of you that have dogs know that they have habits. And it is very hard to break habits. Think about fools and the habits that they have. They too repeat them. You may recall one individual that repeated something like this. When you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll find that Pharaoh had a chance to allow God's people to go. And we're told that it took 10 plagues before Pharaoh finally relented. Remember, after the first few, we're told that Pharaoh would tell them to go, but then would change his mind and would not allow them to go. He repeated that action time and time again. But then finally in verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. A person that seeks to be right in his own eyes, wise man says, does not have as much hope, perhaps, than for a fool. You might think there are those that seem right in their own eyes. In fact, later in Proverbs chapter 29, there in verse 20, again the wise man said, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Well, I can recall at least two examples of which that Jesus told us about. The first example is found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, you'll recall that Jesus told about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And you recall that the Pharisee, there in verse 11 of Luke chapter 18, prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But then he says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes into heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus went on to say about those two in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We're not to think more of ourselves, more highly than what we ought to think, but instead we ought to humble ourselves. We ought to think others greater than ourselves. And we need to consider ourselves for who we really are. Some of the people in the world do this, and there was even a church that had a problem with this. That problem was addressed in Revelation chapter 3. Do you recall in the seven churches of Asia, One was called lukewarm. The church at Laodicea, they were told in verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Spirit was telling the churches, you say one thing and yet you are something else. That is a characteristic of a fool. But you know, we don't have to possess those characteristics. We need to look to ourselves to see who we really are. We need to look at the perfect law of liberty that can tell us how we can be free. We no longer have to act foolishly, but instead we can become wise. How? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To learn about Him, about His love for us, that He lived a sinless life, that He died upon the cross and shed His sinless blood, that our sins can be washed away, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, so we can know that hope of eternal life. And if we do what is commanded of us to receive that everlasting life, it's not foolish, but that's the wisest thing we can ever do. Have you done that tonight? We're about to sing a song of encouragement. And if there is one this evening that needs to respond to that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.